Move that out of the way. Well, Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. I tell you, I am starting to rethink this costume. It may be a little much for today. Plus, I was a lot younger and fit into it a lot better when I first got it. But, you know, that's okay. So, as I was preparing this message, I actually started off with a different idea than I landed on. You know, the more I got into it, the more it just didn't feel right. Didn't feel full. So I thought to myself, great. I'm overwhelmed about being underwhelming. Why can't I just be whelmed? That made me smile at myself at least a little bit. And, you know, then I got to thinking, wait, can I be? Is that a word? Is that a state of being that I should be? Well, I'll answer that for you here in a little while. But first, let's take a look at the other two and see what they mean to us. So, should we be overwhelmed? Well, in some context, we could say yes. Adonai's love could certainly be called overwhelming. But more often, we don't use it to mean a positive thing. Now, it can be defined as simply too much. But a broader definition is an excess amount of work, emotion, or stimulation that makes us feel buried or unable to cope. Now, it definitely doesn't make me feel unable to cope. It's quite the opposite, really. But I know that sometimes it can be overwhelming to follow him, to be faithful. You know, am I taking the time to study enough scripture? Am I reading the right scriptures? Am I doing the right things, saying the right things? Am I doing any of this right at all? But he doesn't want us to feel overwhelmed. Scripture tells us this in many places. At the beginning of the book of Joshua, we see B'nai Israel prepare to enter the promised land for the first time and claim it. Now, talk about overwhelming. A people who have wandered for so long now must go and take a place full of fortified cities and skilled warriors. And Joshua must have felt so much pressure. He had just become the leader of the people, and now his first real task is to lead them in this campaign. Now, talk about getting thrown straight into the deep end. But Adonai tells them, "Be strong and courageous, for I will go before you and be with you." In fact, between Deuteronomy 31, which also speaks on preparation to enter the promised land, and Joshua 1, Adonai says this a total of 7 times. I'd say he's really trying to drive that point into their heads and ours. When we are overwhelmed, this is what we have to remember. He goes before us and with us. He has our backs. Much like the tzitzit that we as men are instructed to wear, he surrounds us. So when we feel overwhelmed, we have to trust him. He has a plan. It's not always going to be easy or in the timing we want it to be, or even when we want it what we want it to be. There we go. But his plans and timing are always right and perfect. I know we've all heard the saying that God doesn't give us any burdens we cannot bear. Now, the problem with that is that it's not in Scripture anywhere. It's actually a misinterpretation of a passage in 1 Corinthians about Adonai not allowing us to be tempted beyond our ability and how he will provide a way out of it. So I can't really get behind that statement. But recently, my wife sent me a picture that had a phrase on it that said, "God intentionally made your calling beyond your natural ability so you would have to depend on his grace to fulfill it." Now, that hit me hard. See, we don't need to be overwhelmed if we just turn to him, rely on him. So, a couple other verses I'm going to get into about that are going to look a little familiar. You actually saw them last week as well, but they still stand good, so we're going to use them. Psalm 34, 17 to 19 teaches this. It says, "When the righteous cry for help, Adonai hears and delivers them out of their distress. Adonai is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Adonai delivers him out of them all." Now, notice how it doesn't say we won't face troubles and challenges. It actually says we will have many, but he will deliver us from them. You know, it doesn't say when either, so it may not even be in this life. But what it does say is when we cry out for help, he will deliver us from our distress. We come to him in prayer and say, I need you. There are things that are going to happen that will be too much for us, too big for us. But Adonai is bigger. He is stronger. And you know, we all have weaknesses in us, and we will need to turn to him for help. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 says, but he, Yeshua, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Yeshua can work through me. For the sake of Yeshua, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I'm going to say that one more time. When I am weak, then I am strong. Everybody with me, let's hear it. When I am weak, then I am strong. There you go. Now you've heard it three times in the past week. Said it once yourself, so keep that in your mind. See, we are strengthened by Adonai. When he is with us and we are aligned with him, there's no need to be overwhelmed. So, last verse on being overwhelmed, I want to take a look at. It's one of my favorites. I think it really sums it all up. Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So let's break that down a little. We are not to be afraid. Now, I think we all know the song lyrics. And if our God is with us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? You had to figure the musician was going to slip song lyrics into a message, right? So maybe next time I'll even use the guitar. Who knows? So next in this verse, the word dismayed can easily be swapped for the word overwhelmed. They are pretty close in definition. Why not be overwhelmed? Because I am your God, it says. Because we know his power. We know he can defeat anything. He will strengthen us, help us, and uphold us. And isn't that such an amazing comfort? Now, I know sometimes it can still feel like everything is too much, even knowing this. Me personally, I have a simple prayer that I like to say when things get a little too much for me. I say, Adonai, I surrender to your will. And you know, whatever the outcome, I know it's for the glory of your kingdom. That's what matters most. So, no, we don't need to be overwhelmed. I don't think Adonai wants us to be either. So trust in his plan. Ask for his help. He is with you. So, what about being underwhelmed? Well, let's define it first. The simple meaning, not enough. But fully, it means expectations were not met, resulting in disappointment or lack of excitement. Now, we can look at this from a few different angles. Having a lack of excitement for worldly things, okay, not a bad quality to have. Or expectations met from worldly things, I mean, pretty impossible to measure up to the promises of Adonai, so yeah, I'm going to say no on that one too. Does the world often result in disappointment? Yeah, but Adonai doesn't. Okay, so this one may come down to circumstance as if we should ever be underwhelmed or not. So I'll dance in and out of both angles, and we'll try to paint a bigger picture. So at its core, being underwhelmed comes from not having our expectations met. Now this is an us problem. It is not a him problem. Too many don't take the time to truly know what our expectations should be. So instead, false teachings, opinions outside of the word become more appealing. By not seeking truth, we can find ourselves just going with what is easy or fits into what we want Adonai to be. But nowhere in Scripture does it say this was going to be easy. Luke 9:23-24. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." 2 Timothy 3:12-13. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we are called to lose ourselves and then to be persecuted for it. Those aren't easy things to accept. But you know, in those verses, we see the promise as well. We lose ourselves, yet we are saved. We are persecuted, yet we see the truth. But we have to take steps towards him and do our part of what is asked of us in order to receive what Adonai has for us. So when our expectations aren't met, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we missed? We can't expect to gain anything without first putting in the effort and the work. Now, this isn't to say that we're going to be given some great gift of a carefree and perfect life where all our troubles and problems vanish just because we accept Messiah. I mean, at least not in this life. Not in the flesh. It's going to be tough sometimes, guys. But it's going to be worth it. So armor up, sharpen your swords. And you know, often when we say those words, when we speak of the armor of God, we think of it kind of metaphorically, but it's not. We are to be warriors. And the expectation of a warrior should be to have to do hard things. We will be attacked. We will do battle. So if you expect anything different, you're not paying attention. So we have to be careful not to look at groups or teachers who offer an easier way of doing things or accepting that and following those ways. So let's look at what Colossians 2:7-9 has to say about it. "Let your roots grow in down into him, and let your lives be built on him." And what is he? He's the Word. "Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking or from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Messiah. For in Messiah lives all the fullness of God in a human body." I should have taken the cap off of this already. There we go. Empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. I love that particular translation. When our expectations aren't met and we become underwhelmed with Adonai due to our lack of fully understanding, that's what we end up replacing it with. Nonsense. Our way isn't the best way. Now, I'm going to give you guys an old analogy that's been modernized and expanded just a little bit. So if we're trying to get somewhere or find a new place to go, what do? We pull out our phones and pull up our GPS, put in our destination, and off we go. Now, if I was driving and you were the passenger, and suddenly I decided, you know, I think I know a better way to get there. I think if we go the way I'm thinking, it's going to be an easier trip, a more enjoyable trip. You're probably going to look at me and say, I think we should just follow the GPS. There's no way that you can know more than it does. It accounts for traffic, accidents, gas mileage. It knows the roads and maps the cities and countries you've never heard of. And then the whole time I'm going my way, the GPS is steady telling me to turn around, telling me I'm going the wrong way. It keeps giving me chances. You turn here. Nope, missed that one. Okay, you turn here. No. I still think I know best. And then what happens? You wind up lost. And it can be a long trip back to get on course again. And now I look pretty foolish for thinking I knew better. Scripture is our GPS. Adonai is our GPS. He knows which way is best for us to go. He sees all things that lie in our path and directs us down the path that is best. Our expectations of our faith shouldn't be that it's going to be a smooth ride. It should be that Adonai knows best. We need to trust in his plan. It's the adversary that tells us differently. Many of you have heard me say this before. What HaSatan wants for us, whether it is good for us or not, we will enjoy. But what Adonai wants for us, whether we enjoy it or not, will be good for us. I think I'll take what's best for me, what's best for his kingdom. So we know the cause of becoming overwhelmed, but let's take a look at the symptoms. Disappointment and lack of excitement. I think that second one is where we really fall short when we become underwhelmed. We should be excited by our God and our faith at all times. It's a terrible disservice to ourselves and those around us when we simply act out of routine. When the Torah goes around the room and we reach out and touch it and kiss our hands, is it simply routine, a habit for you? Or does it inspire you and reaffirm your faith and your connection to Adonai each and every time? Obviously, it should be the latter. Now, I know many of us find comfort in routine, but it can lead to us being complacent. Think, well, I know Scripture well enough, and I know the liturgy. I know what my faith means and how to follow Torah. There's always something more, something new to discover. We should be excited to seek it out. Now, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the most famous verse about this in Scripture. So, Revelation 3:15-16 says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He will spit you out of his mouth. Now, I know this wasn't originally written in English, but I've always found it interesting wordplay that in the English, he finds that behavior distasteful. You know, spit him out. Eh. Thanks for the late laugh, Kim. Now, what does it mean to be lukewarm? Well, I think part of it comes down to what importance we place on worldly things. We split our time to ultimately accommodate both. This can lead us down a path that will pull us away from Adonai. We begin to develop little g-gods and idols, and those little g-gods usually aren't gods in the way we would think to define it. Anything can become one. It's all about what you put first. Now, we all know that stereotype of a teenager whose bedroom is covered in posters of movie stars and bands. They look at them and think, I want to be like them. I want to do whatever they do, say what they say, eat what they eat, and have whatever product they say is right for me. I will love it just because they do. People will even go to the extent of following these people around anywhere they can, just to get a glimpse of them or a chance to speak to them. They become idols. And the scary thing is, people will literally call them that and not realize the implication of what they are saying. They will say, so-and-so is my idol. That phrase hits the ear a little different when you think about it in full context, doesn't it? This can apply to sports teams, video games, even things like lifestyle choices, such as being really into fitness or other hobbies. I'm not saying we should avoid these things like they're evil, but they can become a way for the enemy to creep in and pull us away. It's all about what you put at the top of your list is most important. What comes first? Or rather, who? You see, there is somebody we should want to say what they say, do what they do, follow wherever they go. We all know the answer to this, right? There we go. All right, class. Gold stars, Spider-Man stickers for everybody who answered. So now we can say that Adonai doesn't want us to feel overwhelmed. He will strengthen us and walk through our trials with us. We definitely shouldn't be underwhelmed, at least not when it comes to our faith. So the question, can we just be whelmed? Yes, actually, we can be. It actually is a word, though not one that appears in modern speech very often. So if you remember, overwhelmed is simply put, too much. Underwhelmed is simply not enough. Whelmed, then, of course, is simply just right. And I bet you didn't see a Goldilocks reference coming. I didn't either at first, so. Whelmed is a term indicating you are fully engaged or covered, but not to the point of distress. That's where we should be. Fully engaged with Adonai. Fully covered by the blood of Messiah. Lacking distress and having shalom from Him. Now, how do we get there? So let's start with the basics. Prayer. I do love making references to the passage on the armor of God, if you guys haven't picked that up yet. But the verse following that is so important as well. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." Now, I wouldn't call this fully engaged just yet, but it's a great start. It doesn't even have to be anything lengthy or for any special reason. You know what Adonai calls a short, simple prayer? A prayer. Take a deep breath and say, "Thank you for that breath." Walk out your door. Say, "Thank you for the sunshine, or the rain, or the clouds, the trees, whatever you see." When you think of someone you love, or even someone you don't, say, "Adonai, please bless them." But try not to say, "bless their heart," because that takes a whole different meaning here in the South. Praying doesn't have to be something done in grandeur. We are even instructed in the Veya Hafta to say our Shema, basically every time we think about it. Something most of us have committed to memory. Those we do have to be a little more careful with. Don't say them out of habit alone. Sincerity and concentration on what we are saying is necessary to make a prayer meaningful. Hear what you are saying. Feel it. Mean it. Next, it's being the Word at all times. And just as in prayer, don't overwhelm yourself. If you get through five chapters, or just a single verse in a day, just the fact that you are in the Word is what's most important. I even know of one person in our congregation who once said they got stuck on just the study of a single word for hours. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. Getting something out of it. I'm reminded of an old Hasidic tale. There was a rabbi who sat down in a study house with his students, turned to a certain page, and all day stayed on that same page. The students waited in anticipation to see what had stumped their teacher and to hear what resolution he came up with. But a few more days passed, and he remained on that page. Students were concerned. What could possibly be so hard to understand that their teacher could not solve it? Finally, they asked what had kept him on that page for so long. His reply, "I was so happy on this page. Why should I turn to another?" The value of studying a single page was more important than just reading it to read it. Now, I'm not saying that we should only read the pages we enjoy the most. it is still very important to seek as much knowledge as we can from the Scriptures, to do our best to understand it fully. But it is a beautiful story, a reminder that it's okay to have a single section or even a word consume us for a time. When we find joy in it, I'd say we're doing it right. Finally, the use of our talents and time can get us to the point of being fully engaged. We all have special gifts Adonai has given us, so we should use them for Him. Each one is just as important as any other. Doesn't matter if you're a musician, a cook, a teacher, a gifted speaker, good at building or fixing things, whatever you excel in. For some, it's not even a physical talent. Being someone who is easy to talk to and sociable, being good at organization, or being a patient person, we all know how hard that is. Those are all valuable gifts. So put them to work for the kingdom of Adonai. Every piece matters. Think of it this way. The place you live in right now, it took many people with many different skills to build. Sure, the foundation and the framework hold it up, but you still need electricity. You still need plumbing. You need heating and AC, especially here. Everything right down to the sheetrock and paint all come together to make a house, a home. And you know, you may not think that the paint on or in a house is that important, but believe me, in my 20 years of construction work, I have seen some paint jobs that made me think I could not live there. And I don't mean to be critical. Look, I'm good with wire. You do not want to hand me a paintbrush. Not what I'm going to do. But we all have our gifts. So overall, putting our time into all of this gets us to the point of fully engaged, whelmed. So trust Him. Be excited. Be involved. Let's be whelmed with Adonai and our faith. Father, thank you. Father, we thank you for being our strength. We thank you that we can turn to you when things become too much for us. And Father, we pray for those who have become stuck or misled. We ask that you would rejuvenate them, that you would speak to them and breathe new life into them so that they can become fully what you would have them be. Father, we thank you for our gifts and ask that you would guide each and every person who seeks after you and serves the good of your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for everything that you do and everything that you are. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Now, this is going to be a little different because I'm actually going to invite Rabbi up to do the bread and wine.